Years ago, when we played baseball in the back lot, we would, of course, choose up sides. It didn't matter how many kids wanted to play. As long as you wanted to play and would play, you could be chosen. Now, we might not always get the side we wanted, but the point is, if we wanted to be chosen and we would go by the rules, we'd be chosen. Doesn't matter how many kids were on the team. We try to make it even. And not necessarily as an analogy, but rather God chooses his children. He chooses those who are participating in his plan. And again, this is something that's so necessary for us to understand. Peter talked about God's chosen people. He uses the word elect. That is, again, the idea of those who have been chosen. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." The idea of election, that is, that God has a special group that have been chosen out of the world, is something that people have kind of distorted down through the years. And one distortion that was found in Calvinism, where they taught an individual predestination, that is, that God's elect were the ones that God picked out to be saved from before the creation of the world, as it were, with a whole list of all the people who would ever live. And he went through and he checked off those that he wanted to be saved, and the rest of them, he wanted them to be damned. And so you have the elect and you have the non-elect. And of course, this makes salvation something that has nothing to do with individual responsibility. It's all God's doing. The word elect does mean to choose. However, the Calvinistic idea is wrong in that it's not individual predestination, rather the predestinating of a class of people who would conform to his Son, that God will choose them, that is the group that he chooses. Not that he made them choose that, but rather they chose to be chosen of God. The word elect means to select or to choose. And when we look at the Bible, we see that the source of election is God's grace towards man. Without God's grace, there wouldn't be an elect. There wouldn't be a chosen people. And the force of God's election is the gospel. That's the means, or that's the you might say, the method that God uses to make up this group of the elect. Peter wrote of God's elect, and Paul affirmed that people are elected or were elected by God. Notice Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." There you have both the words elect and predestination. And he says he predestinated us, but when you think that, don't think me, but rather us as God's church, as Christ's church. Those are the ones he has predestined to be conformed to his Son, to receive this adoption. And so God chose us in him. That is, those people in him, God chooses them. Christians are called God's elect in Romans chapter 8, verse 33. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." And so the word is used in the New Testament to indicate a people, a group of people that God has chosen, that he has selected them based upon certain criteria. And man has a responsibility in this election. Now, election is either conditional or unconditional. If it's unconditional, the way the Calvinists teach, then the Bible teaches that everybody would be saved. in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." That's speaking of God. He wants everyone to be saved. And God is willing that all men would be saved. 2 Peter 3, 9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so God wants to save all that will be saved, and he will choose them based upon this criteria of them being in Christ. But if it's unconditional, then obviously God has the power and he is willing to save them all. But we know from the scriptures that not everyone will be saved. Notice Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it." Unconditional election would mean that everybody would find the way. They couldn't help it. But Jesus said there's only going to be a few that find the way, which means that obviously election is a conditional thing. There is a criteria to be among that class. So how does God select or choose men and women out of the world to be his elect? Well, again, God chooses to save people in Christ. And that's a key phrase. And you read it a number of times in the New Testament. And it has the idea of those people who walk according to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Notice Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 through 5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." There again, we see the word chosen. We see the word predestinated. Again, these ideas that of God having a choice. But notice that choice is limited to those who are in Christ. It's his will that they should be holy and without blame before him. How do people accomplish that thing? It's by being in Christ. Now, as we studied earlier times, it's not that by our own works righteousness that we become holy, but rather it's the righteousness of faith. It's our dependence upon Jesus Christ and his cleansing blood. But this election is for those who are in Christ. And notice in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now, baptism, of course, is the choice of the individual. People choose to be baptized or not. Those who are baptized into Christ now have the blessings that are in Christ, and one of those blessings is to be of the elect, to be of those who are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, how do people come to that situation? Well, they're called by the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 13, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." There are those words again, the word chosen, that he has chosen us from before the beginning, or from the beginning, to salvation, not individually, but as a class, as a group, those who are in Christ. How do people get into Christ? They're baptized into Christ. What causes them to do that? They hear the gospel. So the gospel is that engine, as it were, that God uses in the world to call out that elect group. You know, again, he's not concerned about so much about how many will join that group, although he wants all, but he's not going to force anyone to into that group who doesn't want to be a part of that group. Man, of course, must believe and obey the gospel. it's the case that we still have our free moral agency. We can decide for or against Jesus. They did it in the first century. People who saw him, saw the miracles he did, sometimes chose to reject him. And others who heard concerning the miracles that he did, but never saw a miracle, chose to accept him. And we're among that group in that we never saw a miracle that Jesus did. But we believe that he is the Son of God. And through that faith, by obeying the gospel, God chooses us to be of his elect. Thus, all men may become God's elect. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus invites anyone, everyone, to come after him and follow him, but we must take up our cross. We must participate in this election. Now, there's also a result of this election, and one of those results is the great blessing that we receive because of it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I can't imagine anything greater that God could promise us than that wonderful inheritance. But again, it's for his elect. It's for those he has chosen. But how do you get to be one of those who are chosen? As where you choose him. You choose him through the gospel, and he chooses you to eternal life. The responsibility, of course, is also imposed upon us as those elect people. We must respect and obey God. Notice again what Peter says. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you by, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. Here we have, again, the picture of us as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. We have a responsibility to, as it were, respond to God's call, to be of the elect. And, of course, also we have the responsibility to love God's elect people. We're not in it by ourselves. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. To be a part of this group, this elect, this chosen generation that God has selected out of the world through the gospel, those who have chosen to be in Christ, is a great privilege, but we are also expected to love one another. You know, God desires to choose you for eternal life, but we have the choice that we must make, that do we want to be chosen? And if we do want to be chosen, will we do what the gospel says to do in order to be in Christ? Because he only chooses those who are in Christ. You can be this elect, of course, if you receive God's word. In James chapter 1, verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Again and again in the New Testament, we see that the responsibility is placed upon man to respond to God's word. And those people who do so in faith and obey him, he chooses them to be a part of this predestinated group that he has decided before the foundation of the world that they will be holy and that one day they will live with him forever. I believe it's a wonderful doctrine that we find in the scriptures that God has a people that he has chosen out of the world, and he bases that choosing on the fact that they are in Christ, and the reason they are in Christ is that they have heard the gospel and obeyed it. It's our hope tonight that we appreciate more the idea of election. If there's any who have not obeyed Christ, it's God's will for you that you put your faith in him. Allow him to choose you, but you must take the first step. Now, of course, he's taken the first step, really. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. And the second step he's also taken in that by his providence you have been able to hear his word and know the truth. But now you must take a step in that, putting your faith in Christ and repenting of sin and being baptized for remission of sin. Those are not great big steps. God's done the majority of the work. He made salvation possible. He paid the price through His Son, Jesus Christ. He only expects us now to seek to follow in Jesus' steps. And as a Christian, if you've been unfaithful, don't become one of God's unelect, because you can lose that status. You can choose to leave the team, as it were, and God won't stop you, because you have your free moral agency. But if you have left the team, it's not too late to come back. God will choose you again. You'll be among the elect. But you must repent and ask God to forgive. And our song of encouragement's for you as we stand and as we sing.